today and then the next Thursday, we're going to take a look at some alternative investments. And real estate is a whole, in itself. So, pass these over. Give one to him, too. And so, obviously, 17, 18 slides are not enough. But I will give you my perspective on real estate. There are two ways to hold real estate. One is as a direct investor. Everybody got one?
No.
Okay, pass them this way. Result, I didn't get one. We have any extras? What? Who's the devil? Oh, I know. It's a joke. If I offend any religious people, it's my apologies. There are two ways to invest in real estate. Direct and indirect. Direct is when your name is on the property. Your home, your vacation home. Rental property is a whole course unto itself, folks. And we teach real estate here, so the most gains can come from undeveloped land, but it's also the riskiest because you're not getting any cash coming in. Why do we buy real estate? Rent, right? For cash, to get cash in. Now, capital appreciation, capital gains, and that's what undeveloped land is all about. And if you choose well, and the city happens to move out to where the land you bought is, you can do very, very well, but it's really risky. There's an old saying, never invest in dirt.
It'll take a while.
It might take a while, and it might never happen. And you see people who bought $20,000 for 10 acres of land out by Borrego Springs, and then they pay the 2 or 3 years' worth of property taxes, and there's nobody who's going to lend them any money to build the building there because nobody wants to live there. And then they stop paying the property taxes, and then the property taxes mount up, and then the person buys it for $12,000, pays off the property taxes, and then they pay the property taxes for 2 or 3 years, and then they get tired of paying the property taxes, and then the property taxes. So, yes.
The counselor was on TV and said, hey, we've got these homes that foreclosed, but, you know, the previous owners did not pay the back taxes.
The back taxes. So you have to. You buy the house, you got to pay the taxes, right?
Going back
right.
5, 10, 15
right. Yes, exactly. And then indirect. Now, these look more like stocks. Real estate investment trusts, partnerships, syndicates. I would stay away from those. But that doesn't mean you can't make money. It's just that it's much easier to buy and sell a real estate investment trust than it is to buy and sell a syndicate. Real estate investment trusts look like stocks. In fact, when you go on the web, when you go on Yahoo, you can type in a REIT, and it looks like to you a stock has all the same information. But they don't pay dividends. They pay fees from operations. And they're not a corporation, so they're not really dividends. They're taxed differently. They're a trust, and it gets a little tricky. But they look like a stock. The syndicate, the limited partnerships, you got to know what you're doing. I don't know that much about them other than I would want to stay away from them. Because once you're in, it's a whole lot harder to get out than it is when you want to sell your 100 shares of McDonald's or your 100 shares of real Kimco properties, which is a REIT. You can invest in tax credits, low-income housing, sharing of equity. You put up the down payment. Somebody else, usually a family member, lives in the house, makes the payments. And then as the house appreciates in value, you share in that. Sound interesting? It can work really well. Or it can be a disaster. Because if the price goes down, yeah. And then you can, and you'll see these ads. You'll see them sometimes. You'll see 12% backed by a home. It's called hard money. You actually play the part of the banker, the credit union, the mortgage company. These are people who are going to pay you 10, 10, 11, 12% for their mortgage. Mortgages now are at 4.5%, 4%. Why are they willing to pay you 10, 12%?
Wait. To sell the house?
No, to buy the house. They need money. They need money to buy the house. and they go to the credit union, what does the credit union say? Nah, nah, the bank says, go away. So they're going after what's called hard money. Would you be interested in doing this?
No.
Maybe? Okay. Just remember, higher risk, higher return. Yeah. Now, how about commercial property? It's very expensive in San Diego. Doesn't mean you can't do it. Think of a duplex, maybe. It's not really, that's not commercial property. But hotels, office buildings, stores. Do not be surprised if you're looking at negative cash flow, providing you can even raise the cash to begin with for the down payment. The rule of thumb is 7 to 10 times rent. These people do not live in San Diego. Because it's just, it is ridiculous. Downtown San Diego, in 1998, 1999, you could buy a storefront property for about $1 million. 7, 8 years later, they were selling for $8 million, $9 million. So you think housing prices went up? Commercial property went skyrocketing. If you're interested, the South Bay is where the deals are, is my humble opinion. This is the place to go. Fixer-uppers, again, very difficult in San Diego. There are just so many good property investors, so many good investors out here that they swoop these things up. Duplex, quadplex, rent two or three out, live in one. You know what's going on then. Look for low down payments and seller financing because banks usually don't want to lend to a property that's in distress. However, if they have the property on their books, which means they went through foreclosure, they're usually very happy to get rid of it during normal times. Are these normal times? These are not normal times. They have tens of thousands of these things, and they are the worst people to deal with, I can tell you, from just 8 weeks ago, I was dealing with these people, and I just wanted to, if they were in front of me, it's a shadow dance. You're sending stuff back and forth. You never even talked to them. I said, can't we just sit down with these people and talk? No, they're in Jersey, some New Jersey somewhere. I wanted to just, they thought, so good luck. Avoid property managers, my personal advice, although there are very good ones out there. It's not your part, not their property. Become a property manager. I think that's a good idea. You'll learn the ropes. Most importantly, when you deal in fixer-uppers, are you savvy dealing with repairs or are you savvy dealing with renters? Because fixing a tenant is just as important as fixing a toilet. Right? One tenant can set you back thousands of dollars. Any horror stories? I think I got the best one. Wasn't my property, thankfully. What? Let's hear.
My parents own an investment property.
And?
The tenant murdered someone in there and burned half the building down.
Oh, that's better than mine. Murdered somebody and burned it. Okay, that's better than mine. Mine's not a good one. Somebody brought their motorcycle into the living room and changed the oil and worked on the motorcycle in the living room. Who does that? That's a good question. Who does that? I don't know if I really want to know that person. Make improvements, but murdering somebody and then burning half the building down. I can't beat that. Install a white picket fence. There's a great book called, and I'm an idiot, folks. I fix things. I call up Rolf and Oscar and Alex and Jason to help. You know, that's the telephone. But this guy, he fixes it up, and he has a wonderful book. He had a building, a house that was settling, which happens. You know, the foundation settles depending on the. So what did he do when he had to replace the windows and doors? You know, the house is tilting, right? What did he do? He tilted the windows and doors the other way, so it looks like it's standing up. Now, REITs. We talked about these, and these look like stocks. Real estate investment trusts. They're kind of like a mutual fund that invests in real estate as opposed to investing in stocks. They're pass-through investments. Sound familiar? That's what mutual funds are. Pass-through. They pass through the investment to the investors. At shopping centers, office buildings, warehouses. By law, they must distribute 95% of their earnings to shareholders. Unlike a corporation, which does not have to pay dividends, the REIT does have to pay the money, and it's not, we call them dividends, but they're not dividends, they're fees from operations. The management company usually takes 1 or 2%, sounds like a mutual fund. So let's take a look at one that's actually based here in San Diego. Now, these things have gotten pretty expensive, as far as I'm concerned. I invested in one with my group in the late 90s, and it turned out to be a phenomenal investment. It was paying 8% at the time, and I said, you know, they looked at me because they thought I knew something about. And I said, well, 8% is pretty darn good, and their shopping centers are really well-run company. They got bought by somebody else called Pan Pacific, based in Vista. But here's a company that's based in San Diego called Realty Income Corp. And normally these things pay 7 or 8%, 6, 7, 8% when they're good deals. What's it paying? Which is, if it were a stock, that's a pretty darn high dividend. But for a real estate investment trust, yeah. And the reason is because the commercial property that they own has gone up in such value that the REITs have gone up. Here's another one called Kimco. Kimco, which is a well-run REIT, and they are paying not even 4%. So personally, I don't think these are good deals. Now, in my humble opinion, doesn't mean they aren't, but they are. If you like real estate, they warrant your attention because it's a way for you to invest in real estate without having to fix the tenant, fix the toilet. But I think right now they're overpriced because I would like to see 7%, 8%. Now, what are the advantages of real estate? It's been a hedge against inflation, normally. Are these normal times?
No.
No, because real estate's falling, even though inflation's going up. Not a whole lot. Energy, yeah. But inflation, it's wages are not going up. Wages are the biggest component of inflation. That's why the government keeps saying inflation is low, and everybody says, what are you talking about? Look at the price of milk. Look at the price of gas, you see, but look at the price of your wages. I know they're going down. And financial leverage. Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to take a look at financial leverage in action. For real estate investment trusts, easy entry, easy exit, very liquid. Somewhat the same with limited partnerships and no management concerns if you have a real REIT. And you can't check the price of your real estate investment every day on the internet, which is one of the major problems with stocks. What are the disadvantages? The big disadvantage with real estate is liquidity. Somebody wants your 100 shares of Kraft. I mean, they'll buy them right now. Hey, I want to buy them. So they go. I want to sell them. They go. How long does it take to sell a house?
Oh, wow.
Normal times, 3, 6, 9 months. Are these normal times? No. During 2005 and 6, how long did it take to sell a house?
Like 3 hours.
Yes. You put it up for sale on Thursday night. By Saturday, there were 3 offers, and Sunday, you've made the deal. So obviously, that wasn't going to last, and this isn't going to last. We're going to come back. Trust me. Yeah, and there's a lack of diversification. Just how many houses can you buy? Unless you buy a REIT. You have passive tax shelters. Well, that's, you talk to your tax person about that. And management tenant problems. One tenant can burn the house down and kill somebody in there. And property values can decline. And people say, no, they can't. I go, oh, yes, they can. How about your home? Well, we discussed this quite a bit in the Business 121 classes. Some of you might, this might look familiar. A home is most people's major asset. Most people's major investment is their home. And traditionally, a home produces an after-inflation return of about 2.5% a year, which is about the same as bonds. San Diego has been a noticeable exception. It has been returning 8, 10, 12% above inflation since World War II, until 2008. And there are great tax advantages to your home. You can buy a home for $100,000, sell it for $350,000 after 2 years, and not pay a dime in taxes. It has to be your primary residence. If you're married, you can double that. $500,000 tax-free. So you can buy it for $100,000, sell it for $600,000, not pay a dime in taxes. Pretty cool?
Wait, even if you make a capital gain?
If it's your primary residence, you have to have lived in it 2 of the last 5 years. So you can rent it out for 20 years, live in it for 2 years, no capital gain.
That's why they ask you when they sell it to you. Are you going to live in it or are you going to rent it?
Owner occupied. Well, that has to do with the financing. The bank, if you live in it, the bank, because the bank sees it as more risky if you're going to have renters. Because if you own it, and you live in it, they think, well, you know, he's going to take care of it. If the renters, they go, eh. So the bank says you have to have a bigger deposit if you're going to rent it out to people. If you're going to live in it, we'll take a lower deposit. It's the IRS that says, when you go to sell it, the IRS says, well, was it your principal residence? And if you say, two of the last 5 years I lived in this house, the IRS says, cool, you don't have to pay any property taxes. It is. And that's what people are. Some people are doing it. Some people, this is their livelihood. Now, of course, you need some capital, folks. They're buying a run-down home. They're living in it for 2 years, fixing it up. You know, drywall, maybe ripping out the whole floor, plumbing, electrical. They've got to be handy. And then they're selling it after 2 years, going on to the next one. Are you with me? They usually have some other job going on at the same time, but that's not for me. This is what you'll hear people say. But my house is the best investment I have ever made. And then when you say, well, you know, what else have you invested in? I don't know. It's pretty much the only investment I've ever made, except for that penny stock my brother-in-law, the ex-stockbroker, conned me into buying. But stuff's worthless now. And those gold coins I bought way back when the first Gulf War started, back in 1999. What did I do with those things? You with me? People will say their house is the best investment they've ever made, but they haven't made any other investments, so I don't know. Bottom line, a house is a home first, an investment second, in my humble opinion. Real estate agents will tell you, oh no, it's an investment first, and third of their scheme. But what about San Diego? Prices in San Diego have gone down in the past. They are going down as we speak. Right? How far before we hit bottom, no one knows. But if you plan on staying here, by all means, buy whatever you can afford. I love San Ysidro and National City. I think they're phenomenal, walkable communities. I would think I would want to live there. East Chula Vista, to me, is too far out from everything. You've got to get in a car no matter where you go. But then there are exceptions. And if you live in East Lake, you can walk. And so you buy. But I think the South Bay is the best deal. IB is also a great beach value. But don't expect to happen what happened in 2002 to 2007. That's not going to happen. It will eventually. I mean, 20, 30 years from now, people have forgotten about the crash of 2008, and it'll happen again, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. This is a sign I saw in 1993, and I will never forget it. I talked with the woman. She was very charming. Up in North County. Please, God, let there be another real estate boom, and I promise I won't piss it all away this time. Because in the 80s, 1980s, there was a boom, and then in 90, 91, 92, it burst. We lost 20, 30, 25% of our value. And that's what I thought was going to happen in 2008. My buddy who was shorting these things, he was saying, nah, we're going to lose 50%. I said, I don't know, Jim. I mean, that's a lot of money in real estate. Because people will do anything to stay in their house. They'll take another job. They'll take it a border. They'll sell their blood. And he said, no, there's no way. You know, I work with guys who are making $20,000, $30,000 a year, and they're buying these houses, and they can't afford them. When those option arms reset, they're going to have to go through bankruptcy. He was absolutely right. Do you think she pissed it away in 2005, 2006? Yeah, probably. Okay, come on. I'll give me a couple more minutes, one more minute, and then we'll get to this. We'll get to the, where is it? Yeah, right here. This is where we want to go. Come on, admit it, Piano. Real estate is the perfect investment. You know, I hope I've impressed upon you that every investment has advantages and disadvantages. There's no such thing as the perfect investment. Look, well, this is what they were saying back in 2007. Look what happened in the past 5 years. You know what's going to happen in the next 5 years? Now we know. I didn't know it was going to be that bad. Beware the permanent trend. Real estate goes up and down in cycles. Ask those who bought in 1990 and sold in 94, and those who bought in early 2006 and are still trying to unload that flipper condo. But if you plan to hold on to the long term, you should do well. By the way, there is no perfect investment. This is what people were saying about internet stocks in 1999. So when we come back on Thursday, please bring your damn piece of paper because I'm out of them. Bring this thing and we will... Not that one. The other one. Bring this and we will do these problems. We will do the problems and we'll show how leverage helps us when things are going up And leverage kills us, literally. Bring a pen and paper. Bring a damn calculator. Oh, good. See ya.